lesson, another mustard seed parable, is going to be in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Let's see if I've got that lesson up.
1 through 10.
1 through 10. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 through 10. All right, here we go. Not a whole lot here. A little bit in the first. All right. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, I want to look at this. For a long time, I did not understand exactly what he was talking about. But Susan and Jimmy are here, and they are seasoned believers, and I'm sure they have the answer to our questions.
We're the wrong class.
All right. Now, I didn't understand this for a long time because I kept thinking that the little ones that he was talking about were children.
So
yeah. And in another place, it is children that he's referring to. But here, he's not really referring to children per se. The little ones that he's talking about are newbies, new believers. So that kind of cleared things up because I was always kind of questioning, okay, so is he talking about children here or what? But he's talking, in this instance, I think he's talking about new believers. Okay. Now, then I went to look up, and I think one of the commentaries helped me out with this. I looked to figure out what was meant by offenses because offenses, to me, means something a little different. When you offend me, well, you just cut in front of me in traffic, or you looked at me kind of funny, or you said something about me, or something like that. But the Greek interpretation of offend, and I have it in my notes here, is to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way, or to cause somebody to fall, or to entice somebody to sin. That's a more serious offense. False doctrine, telling somebody something that causes them to stop trusting in God, which of course leads to sin. Again, I got David Guzik. I love him. He gives a couple of examples. It's giving false counsel, he says, leading someone to sin through your liberty. You know, you don't want to have your liberty in Christ be a stumbling block to a weaker brother or sister. All right. So it doesn't appear to be an ordinary offense. Got it? Now, the offenses are going to come. That's what the word said. It is impossible. Just brace for it. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to tick you off. This is beyond ticking you off. Somebody's going to tell you something that's going to be contrary to the Word of God that might entice you to sin or stop trusting in God. It's going to come. All right? It might have hit you before you got up this morning, but it's just going to come. And what he says here is it's better, you know, just be prepared when it comes. But boy, the person through whom the offender, oh boy, that's bad. If you, it's really bad, like crossing the streams in Ghostbusters, it's just not good. It's just bad. Now, I never really understood that. I thought that was pretty harsh and cruel for Christ to say something like this about the offender. So, to help me understand a little bit better, the Spirit just kind of put in my mind. When you don't understand the spiritual aspects of something in the scriptures, see if you can find a natural occurrence that you can use as an allegory. And it might shed some light as to the nature of God. God is just way bigger than Chuck. His ways are not my ways, our ways. And so I've got to, you know, I'm still trying to get out of my way so I can connect to Yahweh. I mean, I just, you know. But he gives us things in the natural that helps us wrap our finite minds around the infinite mind of God and how he approaches this. So I've never really understood. I thought this was just very cruel and harsh. But then when I look at the analogy or the symbolism, when he even says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. So let me just take it to our Father. Because now I have an understanding that God is our Father, and I understand what it's like to be a father, and then I can kind of comprehend a little bit what he might be trying to say here. And so I stepped into my fatherly role, and I said, I wonder what I would do to the perpetrator who did something to offend my child. And it took me back to the time that my oldest daughter was dating this guy. I'm recording this, so I'm careful. And she called up one day. Al knows. Everybody that's a dad knows what I'm talking about. And it appeared, yeah, I know. It appeared that the boy that I told her not to date,
of course,
had put his hands on baby girl.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good gracious. Now, I wasn't really refined in the seven steps. Yeah. And even if I was aware of the seven steps, seven steps gone, out the window, right? Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. So I'm like on the phone with her, I'm like, oh, no, he didn't. Anthony, the boy done put his hands on baby girl. So I knew about the steps. They weren't so refined in me, but I knew something about them. And I knew the very first thing I needed to do was
humble
myself and say, Lord, I need you on this one.
Yep.
And the second step should have been, Lord, lead me through still waters. Make me lie down and just chill out in green pastures, because a brother want to do something that a brother shouldn't want to do. So let me repent for what I'm getting ready to want to do. And step three, let me have new hope that I'm going to give this to you and you're going to know how to do this. And however I respond is going to be led by step four in the Holy Spirit. So however I respond gives you glory. And now I know how to deal with this. But all that went out the window. And she lived in D.C. at the time, and I was here in Alabama. I'm like, oh, road trip. Let me call somebody. And it wasn't the Lord that I was calling. I got some friends up in D.C. I got a posse that's going on here. I ain't been saved all my life. I got some thugs. I said, I'll meet you there. You tell him I'm coming up there, and I ain't coming up there by myself. Brother gonna be strapped. In fact, when I get up there, all he might be hearing is pop, 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 pop. No. Don't try to talk me out of this. You just put your hands on baby girl. That's it. And when I looked at it from a fatherly perspective, I didn't say a spiritual perspective. I said from a fatherly perspective. And I know how I would feel, all right, if somebody were to mess with my child. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how wrong or right they are. They're mine. I feel the same way about the folk in this class. I feel the same way about Al. Al's my I ain't been with Anthony Hart, but Anthony would have called me up and say, Chuck, problems on my job, they're threatening me and stuff like that, and the boss are like, what do you drive?
What do you drive?
Come on. I got just tell me where he drives. All right. Just tell me where he drives. Somebody gonna be missing some vowel stems. Cause you don't mess with what belongs to me. And I say all that to say we ought to feel some kind of good about this scripture, because now that I can comprehend in the natural, basically what I see God saying here is, it was, don't mess with my children. Don't get my children to stop believing and trusting in me, because if you do that, it would have been better for you to be swimming with the fishes in the bottom of the sea, because I'm going to take care of my own and I'm against you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are covered.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We don't have to fight our own battles. I mean, that is just some powerful scripture. I never saw it like that before. Never really understood it. But and you guys might have a different interpretation, but that's my takeaway on that one.
Righteous indignation.
Yes. A holy anger. Yes. A righteous beat down. Anyway. And that's why I got to let the Lord do it or whatever. And eventually, since it took me some time to contact the different people that I was going to contact and stuff like that or whatever. I was able to talk to the boy at level 5.
Mercy.
Yes. Amen. And he never put his hands on her again. Praise the Lord. And the good thing about it is, even more importantly, I stayed out of jail.
Exactly.
Yeah, because daddy would go to jail for you. I just said something.
Yes.
He already has. Jesus went to jail for you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He loves you. That man, God loves us hard. Anyway. But like I said, there ain't a whole lot here. So, let's get to the next set of scripture. And let me blow this up just a little bit. Sandra's not here, but I'm going to do it. Oh, my goodness. I didn't want to do it that big. Okay. All right. Well, let me try just a little bit more. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Then he says, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Mm-hmm. Now, he says, take heed to yourself. That means you need to watch out. Now, I know what he said in the earlier scriptures, if you offend my folk, alright, watch out. Now he says to his folk, you need to be careful of something. You need to be careful with the folk who have offended you. You need to be very careful. I love the Lord. You know, he's the one that will lead the 99 to go to the one. Mm-hmm. That's loving real hard. Well, if the one might be an offender, he loves them too. I mean, he's going to execute some judgment on some folk or whatever, but and so he says, you got to be, I don't want you to miss this. Here's how you treat the offended, but as the offender, here's how you treat them. You got to be careful. And he gives you the steps. If your brother, he's talking about believers here too, because he said, if your brother trespass against thee, then rebuke him. Now, what step in the 7-step process does the rebuking take place? And why is that important? You need to tell people about their error
Repentance.
No. I would think number three.
No, they said it's sin rebuking them, then there's a repentance.
You rebuking them. You're not rebuking. You repentance when you repent yourself, right?
Yeah, when you repent.
Yeah. So I'm thinking it would be number three. That's showing mercy.
No, that's the mercy is five.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I feel like a game show host. Ding! Al is right. Because mercy is when you start dealing with others. And you don't start dealing with others until one, you say, God, I need you. Two, I'm going to repent of saying and doing what I really want to say and do to them.
Yeah,
that's right. You don't want me to rebuke you until I have spent some time with the Lord. All right. In fact, I heard it this morning in the class. Here you go. Because when somebody offends you and you're ready to do the rebuking, the purpose of the rebuking, if I look at this scripture, is to get them to repent.
Recognize their sin.
To get them to recognize their sin and come correct with God.
Right.
Now, if I don't follow the four steps, I need the Lord, I repent of what I really want to do to this person or say to this person, I'm going to put my hope in the Lord, and when I get ready to confront them, I'm going to be led by the Spirit, so the way I confront them is going to bring honor and glory to God. And then step five, I actually execute that interaction or transaction with that person, led by the Spirit for His glory. Because if I don't do those steps and I get ready to rebuke, guess what I'm looking for the opportunity to do? I'm going to tell you about you for my satisfaction and not for the glory of God.
Justification.
I'm going to make you pay here now for all. I'm going to tell you about yourself. And if I tell you about yourself in a manner that is crushing and defeating and does not lead you to humble yourself, if I come at you in a manner that causes you to be defensive and to be prideful and to defend yourself, I am working against the kingdom. And instead of being the offendee, I'm now acting like the offender, and my daddy might spank me.
It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if I'm an ambassador and representative of God, then I need to show some goodness and some mercy to somebody who may not be deserving of it. It ain't my job to teach you a lesson. It is my job to rebuke you and cause you to come into a saving knowledge of Christ. And it doesn't happen until you get humble. And sometimes I got to find the right question to ask. God, and I've been there, I've done this, ooh, they in trouble. Now they got to come back up in my neighborhood, I can't wait. Wait, I'm going to let them have it for old and for new. I got a couple of head nods and a smile, because you know, you've been there and done that. Yes, ma'am.
My note says, when you feel that you need to rebuke someone, you need to check your attitude.
Yes.
Before you do so, to make sure that you know, you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. Check your attitudes, and so you can lead them.
Absolutely. This is ministry. Somebody offended me and I got an opportunity. It's ministry. You got to understand what the motivation and the driving force behind the rebuke is. If you're trying to get some get back and crush them and get some revenge and some satisfaction or whatever, and that the tables have turned, then that's the wrong way to do it. And you need the Lord, because God gets no glory from that.
He wants you to love him.
Like, yes. All right. Kill them with kindness.
Yep.
All right. So, let's keep going. Like I said, there ain't a whole lot here. Yeah. I can wrap this up in about another 12 minutes or whatever. All right. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, which means you need to tell him about himself. But you better make sure you go through steps 1-4 before you tell him about himself. And if he repent, because the whole purpose of this is to get him to repent. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, then you should forgive him. Now, verse 5, says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, there's a lot of different commentaries or whatever and ideas on why, about the disciples, you know, response and those types of things. Amen. But I put myself in the story once again. And if the Lord is telling me, be careful, Chuck, because offenses will come. Folk are going to offend you, and when they do, be careful. Now, you tell them about themselves, but you be careful how you tell them, because you want to get them lined up. You know, bring me glory. You know, when you get ready to approach them, I'm okay. I'm okay, Father. I'm down with you right there. I'm down with you. And if they were to come at you seven times, and seven times you tell them about themselves and they repent for seven times, I see some head nods and some smiles or whatever, then I don't know what the theologians said. They got some different opinions or whatever, but the disciples said, the apostle said, increase our faith, because I would be saying the same thing that the apostle said. I said, Father, you want me to forgive somebody who has offended me seven times in one day? I ain't got enough faith. I ain't been doing this long enough. I need to see Jesus walking across some water. I need some more evidence. I need to go visit the empty tomb. I need some help up in here. Because as much as I love Jimmy, Jimmy got three times to mess with me in a day. Three strikes, you are out, and I love me some Jimmy. But Jimmy gonna get punched if Jimmy... I'm sorry. I ain't got that kind of faith. I don't do it like that. Seven times in a day? Jimmy got seven times in a year. One day? Please.
But they knew it. It's like they knew they knew.
Ooh. That's shot. You got one finger pointed at them, you got three pointed back at yourself.
Well, how you figure that, my sister? Because hey, you know what? let's just be real. Let's just be real. We're reading these scriptures, and you've heard this before. And there's another thing where Peter jumped up and said, 70 times 7? 7 times? I can do 7. I'm counting them down. That rascal only got about 3 or 4 more times. Then I can let him have it.
If you make it to the 7th time, just pray for the 8th.
No. Yeah, yes. I just got that. Pray for the 8th. In fact, you can tell Peter's probably going there too. Peter's probably saying, yeah, that right. I already forgave him 7 times. That rascal got 1 more time. He's getting ready to get got. All right. Come on now. You know that's how we are.
We're human.
We're human. Amen. So the disciples say the right thing, in my opinion. You know, they say, hey, hey, we love you, Lord, but we don't love you like that. You're going to have to help us. Come on. Woo! Yes.
Fortunately, God takes us where we are.
Yes, he does. I think I got in my notes there, Lord, if you want me to do this, which is next to impossible, you're going to have to increase our faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to increase my faith.
You're
going to have to do that. That's just logical.
When I pray in that portion of the Lord's Prayer, forgive me of my sins as I forgive others who sin against me, I always say, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me because it's impossible for me to forgive others all the time like I need to. What I need.
So as I look at this, I'm like, you know, the Christianity is not a punk religion. Mm-hmm. It just ain't. Mm-hmm. Because you got to have some supernatural strength to be able to do what he's asking you to do. All right, this is a tough religion. Now, here's Jesus' response. Verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So, while the disciples, and I agree, say, ooh, I ain't got enough faith for this. Jesus comes back and says, you don't have to be a Christian for 30 years to pull this off. If you had just a... Where am I mustard seed at?
Not here.
Oh, okay. If you've got the faith of a mustard seed, you have enough faith to pull this off. And I'm sitting here going, really? So it's not about more faith. It's about the little bit of faith, and we talked about this last week, it's about the little bit of faith that you have in the right thing. So if I put my little bit of faith in a really big God, I can do the impossible. Now, this is the other thing that used to bother me about this. Because I think when I was younger, I actually prayed this. I didn't understand what mustard seed faith was. I know it's small. But then I went and humbly, in my youth, asked the Lord, Lord, I pray that this tree be removed. And the tree was still there. So I'm like, I got to figure out what this mustard seed faith is, because if I can, you know, either Jesus is wrong, or I'm not doing this right. And for a long time, I just kind of figured I must not be doing this right, because God ain't doing what I'm asking him to do. And the mustard seed faith is still right along those lines of those steps. And so if you have it and you're following those steps, if you're humble and you're repentant and you're trusting in God, that's the mustard seed faith, and it starts to grow, then you're on the right track. And this is what I realized. And I looked at, and I love Matthew Henry, and he says this. It's probably a proverb. It's not necessarily that he was literally saying, hey, you speak to this and, you know, and the mountains will move. He's speaking probably in the terms of a proverb by letting you know, in essence, nothing is impossible. And he's using that as an example. Because I know that that prayer is an impossible prayer. And what God is saying is nothing is impossible. In fact, if you want to take that, maybe even the seven times in a day is more proverbial to just let you know that your forgiveness should be without limit. That you can do the impossible in forgiving, just like you can do the impossible through just a little bit of faith, because God is that big that he can do the impossible. That cleared up a lot of things for me in this. So only a little bit of faith is needed. Now I've got 4 minutes, and I don't know if I'm going to finish this, but at least I got that part out. Oh, I do want to do this though, because I see I had a misspelled word in here. Where is that misspelled word? Yeah. Just as a mustard seed can grow larger into a great tree, so too our faith. That's what it should be. That misspelled word. Our faith should increase. Then he goes through this, and we're not going to have time to go through this. Well, this is a different parable. So we have finished this parable. So now let's go a little bit further, and I'll finish the rest of this next week. And then the next parable for next week, after we finish this, will be, now that's my sermon for this morning, will be Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 46, about the hidden treasure. So that's for next week. But we got to finish this up. We'll probably have to finish it up next week. But then he goes into this other little question parable thing, and he connects it to this. And I will tell you now, before I read this, I was comfortable only being able to forgive Anthony two or three times. He seems like a nice guy. Four times tops. And I was okay with that. Because I'll pat myself on the back and say, you lucky you got four. You know, before you lucky I'm saved, because you wouldn't only got, you don't have one time to mess with me. Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, I'm being real. After studying this, do you know, I can honestly say, and I hope I don't get tested on this, but I can honestly tell you, I really feel like I can do this. I think I can keep forgiving somebody over and over and over again. That don't mean I'm going to be swapping spit with them all the time, but I think I can actually forgive somebody over and over and over again because of this lesson and the scriptures that we're reading right now. And I'm running out of time. But the key to me being delivered came out of verses 7 through 10. I'm going to read them, and we'll talk about them next week. You can read them in advance and see. But the question I have, and let's use this as homework, is why does he connect forgiveness in this mustard seed of faith to this next parable or story? Think about that. It is the key to your breakthrough, especially if you're getting ready to confront somebody, all right, and rebuke them. Verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Question. And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. I know my wife would say that. So likewise, ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Let me read that again. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And when I analyzed that and put myself in the story, I was delivered from withholding my forgiveness to the multiple offender. Al, do you have a different interpretation in your Bible?
Yes.
Can you read 7 through 10 for us?
When a servant comes from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meals, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he has been told to do for? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have simply done our duty.
Okay, so next week, if Jesus tarries, put yourself in the story. Find a natural example of that. And then you're going to understand what he's saying here. And when you understand what the Lord is saying, you too will be able to easily maintain this attitude. And God forbid that anybody ever really do offend you 7 times in a day. But it won't take much faith for you to be able to do what God has told you to do through his power. This passage pretty much delivered me from that. Now, Anthony, don't test the brother.
No, sir.
But you got 7 and, you know, and you know, another thing is, you don't need to tell everybody that they got unlimited mercy through. All right.